This morning we are going to be in Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. And this is one of those I'm excited to see where it goes. Earlier this week I had the opportunity to preach at the nursing home. The second Wednesday of each month is designated for our church to be able to speak at the nursing home. And so I had prepared a message that was out of Luke chapter 19 about Zacchaeus. Everybody's familiar with Zacchaeus probably. He's that one that we sang about, the wee little man that all of our life. And so we probably heard that message at some point. And so that was the message that I preached out of that passage, a message I had never preached before. And as the week went on, I had another message I had prepared for this morning. And I couldn't get back to that other message. But then when I got back into Zacchaeus, it's a different message than I preached on Wednesday at the nursing home. So it's one of those that that I know God had for me. And I want to share it today as we go into this time. My prayer is always that God will speak to me and through me and in spite of me in each service. And so again, that is my prayer. So if you would read along with me in Luke chapter 19, we're going to start in verse 1. It said, "Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up in a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, 'Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house.' So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, 'He has gone to be the guest with a man who is a sinner.' Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, 'Look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold.' And Jesus said to him, 'Today salvation has come to this house, because he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost.'" Let's pray. Father God, as we look into your word today, I pray that we would open our hearts and look into them as well. Lord, that we would hear from you and that we'd be moved by you. Lord, I pray that I don't leave this place the same as I came in. And I pray that for each one of us here. Lord, open our eyes, open our ears, open our heart, that we might glorify and honor you more than we ever have. God, teach us to love you. In your name we pray. Amen. This is that passage, like I said, that we've all heard about, but I want to look today at something that Zacchaeus does. And the title, "Are You Willing to Climb?" It's one of those titles that I want you to think about, and I want you to answer by the time we leave this place. Now, we know that Zacchaeus, because of the scripture, we knew that he knew Jesus was coming that way. He had heard about Jesus. We don't know how much he knew about Jesus, but he knew Jesus was coming that way. So what does he do? He runs down the road. He climbs up in a tree, and then he waits for Jesus to come that direction. And then when Jesus gets there, he listens to him and he climbs down and he takes Jesus to his house and his whole life is changed. Pretty simple message right there. But what I want us to do this morning is I want us to see exactly what God has for you and me to do about this passage. First of all, we have to get to where Zacchaeus was at. Now, and I'm not talking in a tree yet. We'll get there. Hopefully we'll get in the tree. But right now I want us to understand where we are at spiritually. Understand that if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, You need to understand what He has for you this morning. If you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, for whatever reason, maybe you've never heard the gospel, maybe you've never totally surrendered to Him, maybe you just don't understand, but for whatever reason, you've just chosen to this point in your life not to surrender to Jesus. And that's between you and Him. That has nothing to do with me. But I want to present this today for us as Christians and for those that have never accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. I want to explain this in such a way, plain as I can. This man, Zacchaeus, was the tax collector, a chief tax collector, which was a dirty, rotten scoundrel. That's really where he was at. The tax collectors would take money from the people that they were supposed to in their area, who was supposed to be taxed, but they could take over and above what the amount was. If the amount was $75 in our mind this morning, if they could get they could just come up and say, "Give me 100." Well, then they got to keep that 25. So he was not a popular guy. He was kind of a scoundrel because he was very rich, and so he had evidently taken advantage of a lot of people. So this morning, I want you to understand, some of us need to realize that we're dirty, rotten scoundrels. Well, no, we're good people. Yes, we're good people, but I would almost venture to say that every one of us has committed some type of a sin this morning since we've got up. Because our mind, because our thoughts, because maybe even our actions, whatever, we make mistakes. We sin. And we choose to sin. And that's just who we are. And sometimes people will say, "Well, that's my nature, and God knows because He allowed me to have that nature, and so God expects me to sin." Why does He tell us not to? We use that as a cop-out because that's our nature. Well, the Bible tells us if we've accepted Christ, the old has become new. But if we surrender still to that old, therein lies the problem. But here's Zacchaeus, and he is this dirty, rotten scoundrel, or let's just say he was a sinner. That's what they called him. They said Jesus went to eat with in a sinner's house. Now that makes it a little bit more like he's more like us, that he's that sinner. Okay? So if we understand, if we get ourselves right now, every person in here fits with Zacchaeus in some sense as a sinner. Until we admit that, until we acknowledge that, there's no need to go any farther. Because we're all broken, we all sin. But God has provided a way out through Jesus Christ. Through His blood, through His death on the cross, He's provided a way out of that sin. So next, if we found ourselves where Zacchaeus was originally, as that sinner, the next step, you better understand, Zacchaeus knew that Jesus was coming. He had heard about Him. He evidently knew because of the commotion that He was coming. He was coming this way even. Well, for you and I, we better understand that Jesus is coming. Now, we can say whatever we want. Oh, He's way down the road. The commotion is so far away. Jesus is not here yet. Yeah, I've read my Bible my whole life, and I know He's coming, but you know, I know of people that are older than me said they've been reading their Bible all their life, and the pastor's always said Jesus is coming back soon. I don't know what else to tell you other than what the Bible says, that He's coming back. And the last prayer in the Bible was, "Lord, come quick." He's going to come. And when He comes, it's going to be quick. In other words, we're not going to expect it. Zacchaeus knew Jesus was coming. Why didn't he just stay at home? Why didn't he just keep doing life the way he was doing it? He was getting by, obviously. He was rich. He probably had a fairly good place to live, and he probably had everything he wanted because he was very rich. Why not just tuck in and stay and let that commotion of Jesus pass by. What will I have missed? Just a commotion. It's just Jesus. It's just that Jesus thing going by. All those people following him, making all that fuss, making all that ruckus. I can stay back in my comfortableness and not be a part of that. He had that option. But it tells us that he wanted to see Jesus. Now, I would say everybody in here, if you've came to church, you probably came to a point at some point in your life that you would say, you know, I'd like to see Jesus. I'd like to know Jesus just a little bit more. Maybe you haven't accepted Christ, or maybe you have, but at some point you were interested in, for some reason, to know just a little bit more about Jesus. My question today is, how bad do you want to know Jesus? Zacchaeus, as he hears about Jesus, he decides he wants to see Jesus. He knows he's coming, but not only does he know he's coming, he wants to see him. And he doesn't just want to see him somewhat. It's urgent. Here's this guy, and he's short, and the crowd's there. He's got difficulties to overcome. There's a huge crowd around, and he's not very tall. He's this tax collector, and no one's going to want him to be by them. He's got all these difficulties that keep him from seeing Jesus. You and I have a lot of things that keep us from getting on our knees to see Jesus. I don't know what your things are. I don't know what keeps you from giving the time and the effort to get to see Jesus. But Zacchaeus obviously wanted to see Jesus bad enough that he was willing to run down the road, run ahead, and find a spot to see Jesus. How urgent is it for you to see Jesus? It's my question this morning, one of them. Is it that important for your prayer life to be better? Is it that important for your Bible reading to be better? Is it that important for your church attendance to be better? Is it that important for your Bible study time to be stronger and longer and more often? Is it that important that you really know Jesus any more than you do right now? That you don't have to tell me. That's between you and him. But what we have to understand is we've got to decide, how important is my relationship with Jesus? How important is it for me to do anything to know Jesus more? Zacchaeus thought it was important enough. He ran down the road. Man, he was kind of a man of not really stature, but just of a position that you're probably not going to see that person running down the road. But he did. He didn't care what people thought at that point. It was urgent enough that he's going to run. And not only that, but when he gets down there, he's going to climb this tree. Now, they're not dressed in blue jeans and boots or tennis shoes. And this man runs down the road, probably pulls up his robe, long robe, and then when he gets up there, he gets ahead, and instead of just standing by the road and thinking, I've got my spot picked out, and when Jesus gets here, I've got a good spot picked out, I'll be able to see him. How many of you have ever been to a parade and you've got your spot set out, you've got your chair, and then by the time the parade gets there, there's 15 people in front of you? He couldn't take that chance. So what does he do? He climbs up in a tree. And he climbs up in this tree. And so he's set. Man, I know Jesus is coming. I've ran down the road. I found this tree. I've climbed up in this tree. Now I'm just going to wait. This is the hard part. Because one, you know Jesus is coming. Two, you have to decide how bad, how urgent is it that you want to see him. that you want to be there, that you want to have no obstructions, nothing keeping you from seeing Jesus, to the point that you would climb a tree. You would have to want to see him. Zacchaeus would have to want to see him really bad. One, to go. Two, to run. Three, to climb and hang out in this tree. And it doesn't tell us in this passage how long he had to wait. We can take different scriptures throughout the New Testament when in Jesus' ministry, almost all, not all, but almost all of Jesus' miracles were while he's trying to do something else. He would be going somewhere and people would stop him. They would touch the edge of his robe and they would be healed, and he would stop and ask who it was, or someone would come up and say, you know, my servant is ill, or my daughter is dying, and Jesus would be on his way somewhere and people would stop him and demand time of him or blessings from him or healing from him. And I say that because Zacchaeus is up in this tree and Jesus is coming down the road with a multitude of people around him, and I wonder how many times he got stopped. And for every time he got stopped, Zacchaeus is waiting in that tree. And for you and I, sometimes I think we would climb down out of the tree. Because we don't want to wait. Man, I know if I get my Bible out and I get to a room where there's no distractions and I get everything set out and I'm ready to hear from God, I pray and I read, and surely as long as I pray, it would only take that long for God to speak back to me. But then God says, wait on me. Zacchaeus had to wait up in that tree until Jesus got there. Jesus wasn't late. He wasn't early. He was right on time. But Zacchaeus trusted that Jesus was coming that way, and he knew what he wanted would happen if he just waited in that spot. You and I need to understand and trust in the hope that we have, that if we get to where we're supposed to be, sometimes God lets us wait. Not because he's late, not because he's busy, because he knows exactly when to be there. It goes on, and Jesus comes to the bottom of that tree. He walks right up underneath the tree, and he looks up and he sees Zacchaeus, and he tells him to come down. I'm going to stay at your house. Man, how many people at that point are staring at Zacchaeus? Think about that. Here he's climbed up in this tree, kind of embarrassing to run in a long dress and climb up in a tree in a long dress and set up there and wait and wait and wait, and then all of a sudden you're up there and every single person is staring at you. And not only that, these are people that don't like you because you're a chief tax collector. He could allow those people to alter what he does next. Because that's what you and I do. When God calls us to do something and there are people out there watching, you and I are not urgent to jump down. We don't make haste and do what God calls us to do a lot of times. Especially if there are people standing there saying, I can't believe that he's actually going to be using him. I can't believe I remember that guy. I remember him when he was in high school. I remember her when she was younger. I remember all the things that they did. Surely God's not going to use them. And we get to thinking about what other people think instead of listening to Jesus. And so as we look at what he said, he said, I'm going to your house. So he had to come down. He had to invite him into his house. And then he had to listen to what he said, allow him to make a change in his life. Salvation came to Zacchaeus that day. And the salvation changed him. his actions. Now, that's what we know happened. Fast forward to today. These are simple, simple questions. One, and this came out of the message earlier this week, is you better make sure you're in the right tree. Understand that Jesus is coming, but there are a lot of trees out there. There are a lot of trees out there that people are climbing saying, oh, this one will get you closer to Jesus. You better make sure you're in the right tree. The one where Jesus is coming. The one where the King of Kings is coming back. He's going to split that eastern sky and he's going to come back. That's the tree you better be in. And you better know that it's coming soon. This past week, I don't know how many things I've seen on the news. And I'm sure you've seen them too. A lot of times I don't bring the news to the pulpit, but I think this is important. With all the things going on in California and all the riots and the different things going on, we understand the trouble of the world that we live in here in the United States. But then if you look globally between Iran and Iraq, people begin to panic. You don't need to panic. You just need to know you're in the right tree. All the things that are going on should get us to understand we better run to that tree. It's urgent. How do we live urgently? How do we make it to where if I'm standing on the side of the road and I see this little guy in a robe run down the road to climb up a tree, I'm going to notice that guy's acting differently than everybody else. Everybody else is just standing there. Oh, Jesus will eventually get here. I'll probably get to see him when he comes by. Then here comes this little guy running just as fast as he can, gets down there, climbs up in this tree, and is just hanging on for dear life, waiting for Jesus. He's the only one that we hear that did that. I'm sure everybody else noticed. Maybe not everybody else, but I'm sure the people around him noticed how he acted was different than everybody else. You and I have to act differently than the world. We have to live urgently, understanding that when God calls us and God says in His Word to live a certain way because He's coming back, then we have to understand that He is coming back and live urgently so that people see we're living differently than the world. Not only do we live urgently, we live actively. Climb the tree. Do everything you possibly can to get yourself closer in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Don't just run down the road and stop by the tree. Well, I hang out under the tree. I hang out by Zacchaeus. He's up in the tree and I'm at least close to him. He can relay it to me. He can tell me what he sees about Jesus. You know how many people go to church today and all they get is somebody else relaying the message to them? There's a lot. Don't get everything from a church. Get what you get from Jesus, not from a man. Because a man is going to mess up. Not intentionally. Some may intentionally. But go straight to the source. Zacchaeus could have just stood there and told people, hey, you tell me what kind of robe Jesus has on. You tell me how fast he's walking. You tell me if he's carrying anything. You tell me all about him. You relay to me what he says. No, Zacchaeus wanted to see it for himself. And you and I have to see it for ourselves for it to make a difference. A lasting difference. Live actively. And then when you get in that tree, wait with anticipation. Man, can you imagine Zacchaeus? He's done all of this and he gets up in that tree And Jesus is coming down the road, and he knows he's coming, and he can see the crowd, and he can kind of hear a rumble, but he can't hear what they're saying. And then they stop for a little bit, and then he sees them start to move again. And here they come. Here comes Jesus. He's going to be here before too long. And then they stop again, and so he's sitting there, and he's waiting, and he's waiting, and pretty soon, and then all of a sudden, Jesus is there. Think of the anticipation that Zacchaeus must have felt while he's climbed up in that tree. He's waiting, but he's anticipating. Too many times when you wait without anticipation, you quit waiting. That's where a lot of people are at. Well, I waited for God to do something in my life, and I really didn't see much. So I give up on that religion stuff. Because they didn't wait with anticipation. And then once Jesus gets to the bottom of your tree, once he gets to the bottom of your tree, listen obediently. I thought about this. If Zacchaeus doesn't listen obediently, nothing else matters. Why run down the road? Why climb up in the tree? Why wait if when Jesus gets there and he says, come down out of the tree, or he tells you to go do this, or he tells you to go and minister to that person, or go on this mission trip, or go do this, or just spend more time with me. Why climb the tree? Why run if you're not going to obey what Jesus said? There's a lot of times that we're up in the tree, and we want to see Jesus, we want to spend that time with God, then all of a sudden we're spending that time with God, and he says, Steve, I want you to do this. So I take those leaves on the branches, and I pull them back in front of me, and I want to stay in the tree. We have to listen obediently. And what happens to Zacchaeus when he listened obediently? His life was changed. We know that salvation came to his house. His future was changed. His family, I'm sure, was changed. And his eternity was changed. So if we look at that, where are you today? Are you waiting by the road? Are you running down the road? Are you willing to climb that tree? Are you in the middle of waiting with anticipation? Are you waiting to listen to what he has to say? Or are you in the process of him changing things in your life? I don't know where you're at. But as we look at this passage, there's some things you better know. I wrote them down. You better know he is coming, and you better be in the right tree. It's urgent that you prepare. That may be running, that may be climbing. You need to be doing all that you can do to be ready when Jesus is here. You've got to trust in his coming so much that you will allow time to wait on him. And when he comes, you better heed his voice. Jesus is coming. I've got a paper in my office that I've had for probably, I'm guessing, 30 years. Moved it from one office to the other. And I read it constantly. It says, a man is only as holy as he wants to be. A man is only as holy as he wants to be means you are only as close to God as you want to be. Are you as close to God as you should be? No, I'm not. But I am as close to God as I want to be. Now, how does that sound? Because it's not somebody else's fault. It's not my Sunday school teacher's fault. It's not my pastor's fault. It's not my wife's fault. It's not my children's fault. It's not anybody else's fault Because all I've got to do is run down the road, climb the tree, and wait on my God. But if I'm not willing to do that, I will never get any closer to God than I want to. Maybe you just want to get just down the road ahead. Are you willing to climb the tree? How close to God do you want to be? That's a question I can't answer for you. Only you can answer that. You can't answer it for anybody else. Now, it may affect other people on how you answer it. It may affect your family because it affects your future. It will affect your eternity, but it's your problem. And I say problem for this reason. When I was in school and I would go into a math class and they would set a problem before me, it would be so easy for me just to look over at someone else's answer. But what if they're wrong? Then I get that. What if I get caught? Then I'm in trouble. That problem was issued to me. What I get out of that problem is how I respond to that problem. How I take on that problem, how I answer that problem, that's what I get because it's my problem. How you want to get closer to God is your problem. It's not your spouse's, it's not your parents', it's not anybody else's, it's yours. I know this is not a very popular message, but the bottom line is, Jesus Christ is coming, and you've got a problem because you're not as close to Him as you should be. I've got that same problem. Everyone on the face of this earth has that same problem. But we're content just to do half the work. We're content just to be okay. Well, if I show more work than this person, then I'm good. Not if you don't get the right answer. Don't be content where you're at. Well, Pastor, sometimes that bottom limb on the tree seems way up there. It takes a lot more effort than I thought it would. I thought this following Jesus would be coming down here and praying and getting up and life would be great. No, it takes work. Seek to follow Him because we are not where we should be. And with the commotion, and I remember it was Billy Graham that used to say, if you cross-reference the Bible with the evening news, God's either coming pretty quick or He's going to owe Sodom and Gomorrah an apology. He's coming. It is urgent. You need to do what you can and listen when He calls you. Let's pray. Father, I just come before You and I know, Lord, in a room this size that there's got to be somebody that doesn't know You. So I pray, Lord, that they would see the urgency of just seeking to know You more. And I pray for them right now. Just ask that You would move, convict, and change, draw them to You. Lord, for those of us that are Christians, Lord, speak in a way that only You can. Lord, I know Your word tells me that You're going to come with Your Spirit. You're going to convict the world of sin and righteousness and the judgment to come. God, I pray You start in the house of God, that You would convict us. Show us, draw us, light a fire under us to be what You've called us to be. Lord God, forgive us where we fall short. May we seek to honor You. In Your name we pray. Amen.